much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, I know you've been waiting for this one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Excuse me. Hi.
You're Casey Kasem. You're unbelievable.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
No. Seriously, I'm telling you. You blew me away.
Well, it's really nice of you to
say. No. I'm telling you what you do. It's really amazing. It's fabulous.
Yes, well, can we get...
No. I'm telling you. I'm telling you what you do. I really get it. I get what's going on with you. It's amazing. Really. Great stuff.
Yes.
No. Really. Do me a favor. Say, coming in this week at number one, it's Lionel Richie who's stuck on you. Huh?
No, I really don't think I can do
that. No. Come on, do it. Seriously, do it. Come on, do it.
Coming in at number one this week is Lionel Richie was stuck on you.
That's great. You get this at home all the time, right? That's good. All right, do Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Come on.
And now.
This is ponderous, man. Ponderous. And ponderous.
Our feature presentation.
A word I've never used in my entire life.
Ponderous?
Ponderous.
Nope.
That's a good one. It's a good one. You should work that into rotation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 16th of June.
So, it's your last week on the show, right, Kevin?
How dare you, sir?
This is it. End of a run.
It was good knowing you.
We had fun,
I think.
Yeah,
Overall, we had a good time.
I think we need to lock in a pool.
You don't think we've already done that?
Well, I don't. Not that I'm aware of.
It's
possible.
Yeah, why would we want you to throw the results.
Oh, I won't.
Plus, you're not going to be around to pay us if you lose, right. So it doesn't matter if you're in.
Nothing to do with you, Mister.
Exactly. Yeah, Kevin's last day on the show is this week, so we're going to be. Should we start looking for his replacement this week, or just wait till next week and just hit the ground fresh and running with him gone, him already dead?
Well, it seems rude to do it before he leaves.
You don't do it. You don't audition for a new girlfriend in front of your current girlfriend.
But we should get that memory packet thing going. You know, the memories of Kevin.
Oh.
Put that all together.
Put the package together, yeah. The farewell package, yeah. I already have mugs working on the greatest Kevin moments with. We're going to count those down this week, for instance.
How dare you?
Well, we have to, you know, remember you and say goodbye. I think you'd appreciate that.
This is a nod to you.
I'm not,
and
shut
your
up, Lisa.
Influence. It's like being at your own funeral. Yeah. Everyone wants to do that.
Yeah, that's my everyday, though.
All right, well, more on that as we get a little bit closer to Kevin's last day before he flies to and dies in Brazil.
Okay.
Before we get started, though, remember we had that story last week, maybe the week before, about the woman who had too goddamn many cats and she ended up just moving out of her apartment and leaving the cats behind?
Yeah.
Then she moved out of another apartment, left the cats behind. She would just go by and feed them every day. But basically, she was renting apartments as litter boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Lisa May, if I recall.
No, I don't think so.
Here is a woman in China. Her name is Huan Meiya, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that right, who lives next door to a home with her pets. She has over 100,000 cockroaches. What?
Okay, those aren't really pets, though.
Well, she calls them her children. She doesn't even call them her pets. But when you hear what she does with them and how it works with her, it will surprise you. She actually sells them to a pharmaceutical company, which uses them for medicine. So at the end of raising them, breeding them, feeding them, and raising them, she drowns them and then dries them out to sell to the pharmaceutical company. So it's really
going on.
It's a business for her. But this setup that she has, by the way, she spends a lot of time, you know, breeding them and working on them. She said the breeding house has silk nets instead of doors. All the holes have been cemented to ensure that no cockroaches escape. She keeps the house at the right temperature with a gas stove during the winter, and by putting water on the walls during the summer. I didn't know that worked.
What does that do?
It must cool it down, I guess. She feeds the adult cockroaches fruit and rice bran every night and the baby roaches a bag of glucose. How she separates them or gets them to where they need to be, I don't know. Like children, they need sufficient nutrition, she says. She feeds them at 6 o'clock every night. They are most active at night, mating and hunting for food. They mate with each other after eating, she says. The mating process lasts for 2 hours and then the spawning happens. Every spawn hatches dozens of baby cockroaches. So she's walking next door into a house that has 100,000 cockroaches.
Well, that's at last count, but, like, give it 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the creepiest thing.
How long?
And why do you put ground up pharmaceutical? I mean, ground up cockroaches in pharmaceuticals. That's weird ass Chinese medicine.
You know how China is. I mean, China is where all the stupid ivory hunters are selling their stuff for medicine and for, you know, for boner pills or whatever they're doing. But, I mean, most people flip the F out if there's one cockroach in their house.
She's Lisa, naming them and putting them on leashes and petting them. And
how long would you last in that house if you walked in there, Lisa?
Oh, my God. I would.
You'd just have a mental breakdown, right?
Yes. I would rip my own skin off.
I would have a mental breakdown.
I mean,
that's gross.
I don't think cockroach. I mean, nobody likes cockroaches, but it's not like they attack you and bite you. They're not dangerous, right? Cockroaches.
They're just filthy. And
I don't know if there were enough of them. Wouldn't they just overtake you? I don't know.
Yeah,
I've seen movies. And they seem to want to crawl in your mouth for some reason, in your ears and your nose.
I would love to see. Video of this house. I'd love to see what this thing looks like.
I would love to see that.
Anyway, so there you go. 100,000 pets, and they're all cockroaches. It doesn't sound like they last too long with her. She takes really good care of them right until she drowns them.
Right. Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, Casey Kasem passed away.
He did.
Bean, big fan. Long time, you bet.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. He's a radio pioneer, radio legend. Many of us grew up listening to Casey Kasem.
Bean is a guy who listens to Casey Kasem reruns.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Countdowns.
Somehow.
As millions of people around the world do. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts. I also have a World Cup update I think you guys will enjoy.
Okay.
I enjoyed it over the weekend. Beer mug red carpet for 22 Jump Street.
Awesome.
Finally. Tried to get to that all day Friday. Couldn't squeeze it in, but we're going to have
Very
it today.
Excited.
And remind me, Bean, to tell you about my Pat O'Brien sighting.
Oh.
Fantastic.
When I went to 22 Jump Street.
Fantastic.
What's up with Florida?
Pat wrote that movie, didn't he?
What's up with Florida on today's show? You've been banned from locations. We're going to talk about Harvey 11 from TMZ.com. And a bunch more, so we're going to get that started.
Our friend Colin Hanks, too, by the way.
Colin Hanks, right. Talking about the Kings winning the Stanley Cup for the second time in 3 years. Crazy. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's 106.7. Hey. Sorry, my bad.
Yes, you're bad. Yes.
106.7, K-Rock is King.
Hey! See, now you're just wrong. That was just wrong.
That was wrong.
That was wrong.
I'm with Ralph on that one. It's 5:54.
And it's Garmin time. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Garmin time! Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Casey Kasem. To you people with your radios and your countdowns. It may have just been a guy just giving you a list.
But to Bean, he was a hero.
Well. Bean, whatever with Bean. But to me, let's talk about me.
Oh, okay.
Grant Bean, how about me?
All right.
To me, he was Robin the Boy Wonder.
Huh.
Super Friends, right?
Oh, Super Friends.
And Batman and Robin.
Open up a blog.
He did Robin for both of those, right?
He started doing his Robin back in 1968 for the animated Filmation series Batman and the Adventures of Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder, and then continued on with Hanna-Barbera. With all the incarnations of Superman and with the Super Friends, and was an icon, if you will, for superhero cartoon aficionados like myself.
Plus, he was Scooby-Doo, and he had a wooden hand.
He was not Scooby-Doo. He was Shaggy, and his hands were both flesh.
But he did do voices for the Smurfs and for the Transformers,
tons
and for Sesame
voices.
Street. Yeah, he tons did a of ton voices. Of stuff, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Bean's going to try and
I'm the biggest Casey winner. Oh, did the New York Times quote your tweet regarding Casey Bean?
What?
Did they? What?
Seriously?
In their story about radio professionals tweeting about Casey Kasem, did they tweet your, did they quote your tweet, Bean?
No. Oh. Tell me more.
Oh, I guess it was just mine then. I guess just mine was in the New York Times this week.
How is that possible?
When they quoted radio professionals talking about Casey Kasem and they tweeted Ralph Garman, radio professional in the New York Times regarding Casey Kasem. Who wins now? Suck it!
What'd you say?
I said, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Really?
Rest in peace, Casey Kasem.
Really? That was your tweet?
It was.
That's dynamic.
Yeah. Well, the New York Times seemed fit. Did they? I'm sorry. Did they print yours? I forget.
Mine was just, is God on the phone? R.I.P. Casey. That was mine.
Oh, maybe that's why New York Times chose not to print yours.
That was a little more inside.
Yeah. Well, mine was in the New York Times. Right, here's the article here. The New York
really
Times
hadn't
article.
Mentioned that.
Yeah, I've seen the New York Times this weekend.
But, how about that?
Yeah. Just saying. Who wins Casey now? I win Casey.
Well, I don't think he's
I
up
win
for,
Casey.
For winning.
It is over. Okay. I win the Casey Cup.
I drove out to the hospital this weekend and stole the body. Who wins now?
If you've actually got him, I would say Ralph. Yep.
He's right here in the basement. I'm looking at him right now.
Once again, if you've really done that, then I really win. It is Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 22 Jump Street. No surprise there. In its debut, $60 million made it number one this weekend. How to Train Your Dragon 2 debuted to $50 million. So top two.
That's crazy.
Movies at the box office, big money makers this weekend. Maleficent was third. Edge of Tomorrow, fourth. The Fault in Our Stars was fifth. X-Men Days of Future Past came in at number six. Then Godzilla, A Million Ways to Die in the West. I'm sorry, it's West. Neighbors and Chef. Your top 10 movies at the box office. Angelina Jolie had a good weekend. She was named an honorary dame.
What is that?
It is like being, for a woman, it's like being knighted in the UK. Oh. England's Queen Elizabeth on Friday made her an honorary dame for combating sexual violence in war zones.
She's a bitch.
She is not. Angelina Jolie is a
That was the queen.
Goddess. However, since she's not a British citizen, she can't use that title in front of her name. So, not really meaningful. We love you. You are a dame, but you can never call yourself a dame.
That's weird.
So, take that. Enjoy that.
If you were British,
gift we gave you and go home now.
You could use it.
She gave out some other honors because it's the Queen's birthday, and she does that on her birthday. She gives other people things.
Okay.
Daniel Day-Lewis, triple Oscar-winning actor, became a knight. He is now Sir Daniel Day-Lewis. Dame Maggie Smith was named a Companion of Honor, which makes her sound like a whore.
It does. She's the
I don't know
top
exactly
prostitute
what
in the world.
What that title means, but I'm sure she's very honored. Homeland star Damian Lewis received an OBE, which is an Officer of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. And Torchwood and Doctor Who star John Barrowman was named an MBE. And that's another title they give you when they don't want to make you an official knight. So
they like their titles, don't they?
It's an honor.
It's a big deal.
Way of saying, hey, good on you, sport. It's like just a chuck to the chin, one of those kind of hearty hand clasp and a pat in the back. Good stuff for you. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. John Cho. How good is that guy?
He's awesome.
Entertaining in everything he does.
Yep, love him.
And he's 42 years old. Would you ever believe that, John Cho?
No.
Looks like he's about 8.
From Harold and Kumar and the Star Trek movies. Yeah, he's terrific.
Eddie Cibrian's 41 years old. And Missy Peregrine, one of my favorites. She is 32. I'm Ralph. Hey, where's the bell for Missy Peregrine?
Yeah.
Thank you. She's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I am in the New York Times.
Kevin, you'll be dead, so this doesn't apply to you.
How
but
dare you.
Lollapalooza is happening once again in Chicago this summer. And K-Rock Road Trip USA 2014, destination number one. How is it destination number one? It's June. How is this stop number one?
I can't answer that.
Didn't we do a bunch of these earlier this year?
I feel like we did like six of them.
Then how is this number one?
I think we just keep calling it number one.
Lollapalooza in Chicago featuring Kings of Leon, Foster the People, Lord, Eminem, Arctic Monkeys, and so much more. You can win all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:10 and then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Details at krock.com.
Did you guys know that Harrison Ford's still married?
Yeah.
He got married to Calista Flockhart a few years ago. They had been together for like 10 years before they got married. They seem pretty rock solid.
They do, but she is young enough to be his
granddaughter,
maybe?
There's a little bit of an age difference, but they seem happy.
So there was a story over the weekend that she flew to England so that she could visit Harrison Ford because he broke his ankle on the set of Star Wars.
Yeah, that sounded
painful. I'm really nervous about this, as I would be for anybody who's in his 70s who breaks an ankle. I mean, you know, old people have trouble recovering from things like this.
Yeah, but he's in really good shape.
He is. I agree. He's in good shape. But I still...
Mentally.
you know, still, his bones are still 70-plus years old.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and it can take, you know, a long time sometimes to heal, especially if you're old. But we thought we would check in with Harrison and find out how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and specifically, what happened? We heard the accident involved something to do with the Millennium Falcon while they were filming, but I don't fully understand what happened. So maybe Mr. Ford can join us and tell us what's up. Hey, Harrison, how are you? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you feeling? Are you still in the hospital?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still in the hospital. It's Spurlock in the field.
I heard Morgan Spurlock in there. That's all I heard.
Would you? I know you're in England, and maybe it's a problem with the quality of the phone line across the ocean, but could you speak up a little bit for us, Mr. Ford?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. What happened? Can you tell us how you got hurt, sir?
Well, I said, I'm going to go shooting at Bengal. Lightsaber. Then you put the gun, the whip, and then my gun.
I heard ankle. I heard whip.
I'm surprised that Han Solo would have a whip in the new Star Wars movie. That's different for him.
No, it wasn't. It's not Han Solo. This is mine.
It's yours.
Oh, it's your whip. I see. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Now, how long are you going to be in the hospital? Because it seems like most people, they just set it or whatever, put him in a cast and send him home.
Yeah. Well, my doctors.
I heard knockers.
Do you speak up more than this when you're actually filming on set? Because otherwise moviegoers won't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. All right, so you are able to speak up.
The ankle is a bit shattered.
Shattered, ankle okay.
Oh, man, that's tough.
In the accident when Carrie Fisher fell on it.
I'm sorry.
What?
Carrie Fisher fell on it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what we heard.
Yeah,
that's
just fat.
That's a lot of weight, yeah. That would hurt your ankle right there, huh?
Rather a lightsaber in the butt.
By the way, Access Hollywood is reporting that you might need a plate and screws in your ankle. So this is not just something that you're going to heal up and then go back to life as normal. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I missed that. Coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll ask what's up with Florida like we do. First, though, let's go to the newsroom of TMZ.com. Our friend Harvey Levin is on the line. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I know that you are not a big sports fan, except you do watch what? You watch tennis or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like sports. I like watching sports. Not a lie. I hate watching baseball.
Yeah, well, join the club.
How about hockey? Were you?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I am transfixed by it. I mean, my problem with it is I can't watch it if I don't have time to stay there and watch it, because once you watch for 60 seconds, you're just in. You can't stop.
That's what I think.
It's addictive. It really is. And that Friday night game, which turned out to be the longest game in Los Angeles Kings history, was unbelievable. The game they won the cup again for. And you got a great story up at TMZ.com about what happens after they leave the ice. They've done their interviews. They've won the cup. Their season is over. Where do they go, Harvey?
Well, it's great. They went to North End Bar and Grill in Hermosa Beach, and it turns out this is tradition. So 2 years ago when they won, they went to the same bar, so I mean, I don't know if this is superstition or tradition or what, but they go to the bar, and Alec Martinez, who got the game-winning shot, filled it with M&Ms, which, you know, is another kind of tradition. Now, how many M&Ms do you think does it take to fill the Stanley Cup?
I can't even imagine. I mean, that's a great question to ask of a million things that the cup has been filled with, because the cup is used as an all-purpose serving bowl.
Give me a guess.
10,000.
Yeah. You're close. I don't know. 5 to 7,000.
5 to 7,000.
Where do you get 5,000 M&Ms?
You know, I mean, you go to a couple of liquor stores.
So, what do they do? So, do they fill the cup with M&Ms and then just pass it around the bar and everybody scoops out a handful?
Yeah, they were like, they were just really partying there. I mean, it was. Pretty much the team. I mean, they were all there. There were fans there. I mean, this is a tradition.
Dustin Brown was there. Matt Green was there. Drew Doughty was there. Andre Kopitar, Jared Stoll, Jonathan Quick.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Imagine just
and a bunch of fans.
Yep. Imagine being there that night watching the game on the TV, and then all of a sudden the team shows up. I mean, that's a crazy party.
Well, the funny thing is, because they were there 2 years ago, I think some people knew they might come there if they won. So then now it's a thing. If they win next year, this bar is going to be thousands of people at this bar.
Absolutely. And by the way, of course, I'm sure Kings fans know this. The big parade is happening today and everything. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. All right, let's move on. Something else. And Kevin, I'm going to let you ask Harvey this question about Bieber that just blew your mind today.
How is the egging thing still going on?
Well, that's my question.
The DA is finally charging him with a crime?
This happened in January.
Right.
Okay.
He threw some eggs.
let me put this in context.
Please.
The Warren Commission took less time.
Muggs, look it up. That was a funny joke.
I don't know if you remember, you're going to have a good memory now, but back in January, Bieber was accused by his neighbor of throwing eggs at his house, causing $20,000 in damage. They were fancy-schmancy kind of plaster and whatnot. So they had a search warrant. They seized a surveillance video. We know the video shows Bieber is right there in the middle during the attack, and we have video that we posted. It's very dark, but you hear Bieber. So it's pretty clear that Bieber did it.
Right.
But the DA has, and I can tell you this, that the investigating DA who sent it on downtown said this is a classic felony, and if this isn't filed as a felony because of the damage, he said it's going to screw up every other case they want to charge. Mm-hmm. So now we have to find out what is going to happen because this went to the top level of the DA's office.
That's why it took so long?
Well, this should not have taken 6 months. But now the DA is, we are told the DA put the word out in the last couple of days to various people that they're going to make the decision today. I cannot tell you, I don't know if this is going to be filed as a felony or a misdemeanor. We're just told it's going to happen today.
Okay. Let me ask you one more thing, Harvey, and this is a story we didn't get a chance to talk about last week, and it was the Melanie Griffith, Antonio Banderas divorce shocker. Any thoughts on that? We keep hearing that maybe there was cheating involved in the Casper Smart J-Lo thing, but I haven't heard any reason as to why these kids broke up after almost 20 years married.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a couple of people when we broke the story, and they just said, look, they've had kind of a difficult time on and off over a period of years. I don't know. Maybe it's not coincidental. Maybe it is. It seems to me that there's something to this, but their only minor child turns 18 in September, and a lot of times, yeah, so maybe that's it, and I don't know, but ultimately, she pulled the plug.
Yeah, nothing too sexy or exciting in this one. Maybe it's just I'm tired of you not rinsing out the dishes at night. Maybe it's just one of those kind of things. Like, it's just one thing after another just finally wears you down with a person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. I was just told that they've kind of, been up and down for many years.
Gotcha.
So anyway, they're doing it. She wins custody of the dogs. I know that.
All right, good stuff. You can follow all the entertainment news at TMZ.com. And a quick plug for the show tomorrow night on the CW at 8. What's going on with your little show there, Harvey?
Thank you so much for that. Famous in 12, the latest episode on tomorrow, 8 o'clock CW. The girls are in a fight royale because TMZ put a post up, who would you rather? And we put the three girls up, and one of them won, and two of them lost.
Yes.
And you know the rest.
That's hilarious. So these sisters are sitting there going, America doesn't want to have sex with me as much as it does with you.
Kind of. And I will tell you this. Guess who won the poll?
Which one?
The Virgin.
Nice. Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of good reasons for that. All right, Harvey, excellent stuff. Tomorrow night on the CW at 8. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Let's see you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:34.
Is that you whistling, Lisa? That's very good. You've gotten so much better.
I've been practicing.
Keep going.
Yeah. No.
Whoops.
Again. It's Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. I actually have a question for you guys, and I'm serious about this. I really do want an answer.
That means doesn't.
Sorry. What's up with Florida?
Take two.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
Florida is, of course, America's penis, and all the great stories come out of the Sunshine State, and we put them in a roundup for you every couple of weeks and see what's going on down there. Here's a mother in Sunrise, Florida. She has split up with the father of her child, but they do share joint custody. Her name is Megan Elizabeth Everett. She is 22 years old. Well, she took the kid and absconded with her, disappeared. Robert Bauman, the father, is very concerned, found out what happened was she left a note behind that said, "You are a great dad, but if I let them take her and vaccinate her and brainwash her, I wouldn't be doing what's right. I cannot let a judge tell me how my daughter should be raised. We will miss you, but I had to leave." A warrant was issued for her arrest. Apparently, she was trying to get away from having her kid vaccinated, and she didn't want her little daughter, Lily, to learn about Black history in school.
What?
She just wanted her to learn about the Confederacy. So these are the two things that are going on in this Florida mom's mind is I got to get my kid out of here, not vaccinate her. And if I don't vaccinate her, then they can't take her to school. And if they don't take her to school, then she won't learn about Black people.
Oh, my God.
Does that tell you as much about Florida as any story that we've ever done?
That's Florida 20 years ago?
That's Florida this week in 2014, wow. Kevin. Speaking of great ladies in the news in Florida, and this is probably the most sent email to me in the history of doing this feature, our listeners were over the moon when they saw the woman who was arrested named Crystal Metheny. Yes, her name is Crystal Metheny.
Love it.
It is her real name. By the way, her story is awesome, even if her name isn't Crystal Metheny. But let's see. She was born in 1977, so that makes her, what, 37 years old. So when she was born, when she was given that name, when she was born in the Metheny family and they gave her the name Crystal, it didn't have any meaning back then.
Awesome.
I mean, when you think about it, it was just a pretty name back then. Her parents had no way of knowing that one day there would be a thing called Crystal Meth. But if Crystal Meth becomes a thing, don't you think about maybe changing your name?
I sure would.
I would just think your life would just be miserable if your actual name were Crystal Metheny. Well, the reason she's in the news and the reason she was arrested is because she was shooting a missile at cars going by on the freeway.
What?
It doesn't say in this article how she had access to a missile or why she was shooting them at cars.
How big a missile?
It doesn't say. Very few details on this, but she was released on $5,000 bond and hopefully is not using the money to buy any more missiles. But it's just crazy that that's what she was arrested for and that's her name. Here's a 450-pound Florida man who was arrested yesterday after cops conducted a traffic stop and discovered that he had stashed marijuana under his stomach fat.
Oh!
No one wants to smoke that.
Nobody wants that.
Christopher Mitchell.
Let that guy have it.
Christopher Mitchell, 42 years old, was traveling in a vehicle. He was not driving, by the way. There was another man driving the car. However, a sharp-eyed county sheriff's deputy saw that he was not wearing a seatbelt, so pulled over the car. He said, "I'm too big. I can't even put a seatbelt on." Which, by the way, if you're 450 pounds, is probably true, right?
Yeah. Right.
The officer did have a drug dog in him. It was a canine unit. Alerted the officer to the presence of narcotics in the vehicle, so they searched both men, and the cop found 23 grams of marijuana hidden under Mitchell's stomach fat. There was also a handgun and $7,000 in cash in the car and some cocaine, by the way.
All of that's under his fat.
I was wondering about that. I read this article twice to see if maybe the gun was in the fat, too. By the way, what's interesting about this man, Christopher Mitchell, is that he has been out of jail. The last time he served time was back in 2004. He weighed 265 pounds when he got out in 2004. Now he weighs 450 pounds. He's gained almost 200 pounds in the last 10 years. I thought Beer Mug was the only one who could do that.
That's the weed diet, though.
Right.
Maybe
you
that's
smoke
what
a
it
lot
is.
Of weed, you eat a lot of food.
That's an excellent point, Kevin. We continue in What's Up with Florida. Here's a 20-year-old man who is behind bars for allegedly impersonating a police officer. He was activating illegal police lights on his car. He was driving down the road. He's got one of those cars. Now, I don't know if he put these lights on or if he bought an old police car, because you know sometimes you can buy those cars.
Right.
An actual police officer passed him on the road. He flipped on his lights. The guy who's not a cop flips on his lights and pulls over the actual police officer.
I couldn't love this more.
Slows down next to him and gives him the signal, "Hey, slow down," he says to the real police officer, and then speeds up and drives off. So you know what the real police officer does. He turns on his lights and then pulls over the guy who's not the police officer and arrests him for using police lights without being a police officer.
That might be the best story ever.
And I'm sure this guy loves driving around with this police car with these fake lights on it because he can get through anything. You know what I mean? If there's ever traffic or something like that, he wants to go through a light or just wants somebody somebody to move out of his way.
But don't you look? I've been in this mindset before. You see a cop, you really play it safe.
Right.
Because I would think so too.
You're in trouble. You don't try and pull him over.
I would think so too. I just love that he tried to pull over a real cop. And finally, this is another great story that could only happen in Florida. I don't know what the particulars were of this case that was in court, but a judge is speaking to an assistant public defender, and there's some sort of a hang-up on what the definition of a speedy trial is. They're trying to schedule for this assistant public defender, they're trying to schedule for his client a court date, and the public defender is not satisfied with how fast it is, and the judge has just had an assful of it. And they start to have a little bit of a fight in court, and this is Florida's one of those states where they have cameras in the courtroom.
Awesome.
So we actually have audio of the dispute, and then one of the guys says, let's take it outside, and they do take it outside, and you'll actually hear a judge sitting in a trial in a fist fight with an assistant public defender. Check it out.
All right. If you want to set for a docket sign, set for a docket sign. I'm not waiving in any case. This is an emergency.
If I had a rock, I would throw it at you right now.
You know, this is
stop pissing me off. Just sit down. I'll take care of it.
By the way, a judge saying to an assistant public defender, if I had a rock, I would throw it at you right now.
See? Who knew? I'm a trendsetter.
Now they're getting ready to take it outside.
I don't need your help.
No, you know what? I'm the public defender. I have a right to be here, and I have a right to stand and represent my clients.
I said sit down. If you want to fight, let's go out back, and I'll just beat your ass.
So the public defender gets up, walks toward the judge. They both head out behind the courtroom. And all of that is going on. You can hear it on the video that's inside the courtroom.
What the?
A sheriff's deputy broke up the fight. No arrests were made. Police are currently investigating the incident and gathering statements from both parties. But the judge did come back a few seconds later, by the way, to applause in the courtroom. And he said, I suspect there's going to be a new judge on this trial, so we're just going to hold it over till the next session.
That's
because
awesome.
He knew they were going to appoint somebody else. But how incredible is it that a judge gets into a fist fight during a trial?
Like he wasn't drunk or anything?
Nope.
That's
why we love this feature, What's Up with Florida.
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Let's see if we can guess, Kevin. Was Ralph watching the Argentina, Bosnia-Herzegovina game yesterday, or was he more of a France-Honduras game, do you think?
I think he's a Honduras fan.
Okay. Ralph, what were you watching yesterday?
I don't watch kickball. I'm not into the kickball tournaments.
But, so Switzerland-Ecuador, that was your game yesterday?
No, whatever it is that you enjoy about that, continue on.
USA plays today, 3 o'clock.
Go kickball. Now, they have to go all the way around the bases, right? When they kick the ball into the outfield?
It's not kickball.
This is not the one with the bases, no.
Oh,
as much as it's
not, this is the one with the hoop.
Not the interesting one that
soccer.
Actually does anything?
U.S. Ghana.
The one where people score stuff?
U.S. Ghana.
All right. It is time
for the show. I can enjoy that game.
Bean here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What do you got for us, Ralph?
I got more anger.
All right.
What are we mad about now?
Just people are just rubbing it in now.
Rubbing what in?
I want to thank the listener who sent me the story about the peanut butter fruit. Yeah, there's a fruit that tastes like peanut butter. It's bad enough. I don't get any bubble berries. And I can't find the cotton candy grapes anywhere.
Right.
And there's a chocolate pudding fruit. Now they tell me there's a peanut butter fruit.
Are people just making stuff up now?
The Bunchosia argentea, commonly known as the peanut butter fruit, is native to Venezuela and Colombia in South America. It produces a red-orange fruit with a sticky, dense pulp that tastes just like peanut butter. Why are they keeping all the good fruit from us?
Sounds pretty good.
It sounds amazing. You get the chocolate pudding fruit and the peanut butter fruit together. Put those two in a bowl. Give me a spoon. Thank you very much. It's a Reese's Peanut Butter Fruit Cup.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Well, that sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. What the hell's going on? Where's CNN? Get them on this. I don't need to hear updates about how they can't find any more pings for the black box.
Bean needs that every morning. But then after that, they could go with it.
Peanut butter fruit. Why are we not getting the good fruits?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Seems like we should be.
Ralph, did you mention where is the peanut butter fruit? What country or part of the world do they
have that? Argentina.
Argentina? Okay. Yeah.
Venezuela and Colombia. Did not see Argentina ever.
Or Venezuela.
Not even close. Venezuela and Colombia. That's where they got the peanut
Kevin, butter. You're going to be nearby. Maybe you can snag some for us when you're down
yeah.
there. You're down in South America.
Yeah.
It's a small place.
Down South America way.
Just cross the border and ask for the peanut butter fruit.
Exactly.
Speaking of CNN, are you guys watching the 60s? The miniseries on CNN?
I'm taping it. I watched a little bit of the Kennedy assassination one, but I'm taping the whole thing and I'm going to go back and watch.
Do you know anything about me?
But Kevin,
no.
Even this is so well done. Even
so
you
well done.
Wouldn't enjoy this series. I am fascinated by this show. And look, the 60s is a decade that has been...
It's been explored.
It's been examined.
Yes,
a little
has.
Bit. It's been combed over once or twice. But this, and I was dubious about this most recent episode, which was the Kennedy assassination. I was like, do we really need to see any more?
Yeah.
Coverage of the Kennedy assassination.
The answer to that question is no, we
don't. The answer is you start watching this and you'll see stuff and stories and angles on this thing that you've never seen before.
It's very well done.
Brings it right to life. Freaking Tom Hanks knows what he's doing with this thing.
Yeah.
Telling you, Kevin, it's so entertaining, even you would be interested.
I can't. Pretty busy. Got a lot on my plate.
Well, all that kickball's going on. It is Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 22 Jump Street, as expected, came in at number one. $60 million made it number one.
Tell me when you have time for the Pat O'Brien story. I saw him at 22 Jump Street.
Look. I'll take the time off. We'll call the affiliates. We'll cancel songs. We'll pull advertisers, whatever it takes.
All right, so
bring it.
So my wife and I go to the movies, and we go to 22 Jump Street. And I don't hear somebody shout my name. I just hear... kind of under his breath, somebody go, Kevin. And I thought, that's weird. Like, I don't even know if I heard my name.
Right.
Maybe he wasn't talking to me. He was just dropping it.
Possible.
To someone
so
else.
It's possible. No, so I turn and look.
Like Kevin over there.
Uh-huh. I turn and look. It's Pat O'Brien.
Uh-huh.
And I said, and there weren't very many people there. I said, Pat, what's going on? And now I'm thinking
what's
to myself.
What's running through your mind when you're saying, Pat, what's going on?
What's running through my mind is the bits that we've done for 6 months about him name-dropping.
Right.
How much does he know about it? Is he mad? All that's going through my mind because I'm an a-hole.
Right.
So I put my stuff down. I go, I'll be right back. And I go up. I got to talk to him because I'm not a dick. So I go up to Pat and I say, hey, Pat, what's going on? Got a new book.
Oh, he's pitching. He's pitching himself.
And then he says these words. Name drop a lot. Didn't leave a single name out. Not a
Yay!
Name.
Nice.
Thank God the trailer started and I was able to watch it.
Oh, man.
I want to go see this. Excuse me.
I told my wife, we're staying here until the entire theater is clear and then we're going to go.
Until they come in to clean the floors.
Pat, I'd love to hear more about that, but they're showing where the emergency exits are and I got to go catch that part of the
presentation. Oh, they're telling us they turn off our cell phones? I don't know how to do this. I'm looking for some tips.
It was weird. But he couldn't have been nicer. And
I like Pat, by the way.
I do, too.
Yeah, I like Pat.
I think he's a nice guy.
I do, too. But it's awkward to run into people that you mock. I mean, it is. Yeah. We mock him for name-dropping.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Based on what?
Well, we've had a lot of interaction with him over the years.
Yeah?
And
he's
he
been
was
a pompous,
nice.
Name-dropping douchebag.
He was always nice.
He's always been very nice.
Unless our boss tells us not to talk about Pat O'Brien anymore, then I won't, I guess.
Come on now.
You can mock people who are nice and are douches. It can be all of that.
Can you
see,
be
by
nice?
Definition? I know there's a lot of nice douchebags in the world.
A nice person can't be a douchebag.
Well, so which is he?
That's my point. He's a douchebag.
I think you can coexist that way.
All right.
If you say no, then you got to make a choice.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is it was awkward. And I think he was enjoying it.
You know what makes him even douchier is that he... Then, is he aware that he names drops and
yes.
does it on purpose?
He must be.
Yes.
Well, that makes him even a bigger douchebag than if it was just sort of an unconscious thing where it just rolls out
because
of him.
Because he did say...
He's consciously dropping names to make an impression and try to get some impact on people. That doubles the douche factor.
He does say, I name drop a lot in the book. I don't leave anyone out. And I think he was mocking... our view of him or mocking himself, I don't know. All I know is thank God for the trailer.
Come on now.
And we have to have him in when he writes his book.
Oh, absolutely. You can do a duet with Lana Del Rey. How to Train Your Dragon 2 in its debut. made $50 million, made a number two at the box office this weekend. Maleficent was third. Edge of Tomorrow was fourth. The Fault in Our Stars was fifth. X-Men Days of Future Past came in at number six. Godzilla, A Million Ways to Die in the West. Neighbors and Chef were the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. More casting for the Man of Steel sequel, Batman vs. Superman. Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Actually, they're saying now this isn't a Man of Steel sequel because they're still planning a Man of Steel 2 down the line when it comes to these DC movies. It looks like Jason Momoa, who you may remember as Conan the Barbarian for a hot second.
Sure.
He will play Aquaman in the upcoming Man of Steel.
And that's the guy that can rally the fish?
Stupid. He can talk to fish. Yeah, he sure can.
So stupid.
But he can throw hard water balls, too. You don't know, man. You don't get it.
I think I do.
You don't.
Well, I'm pretty sure I do.
And I can't believe I'm even going to do this. Can't believe I'm even going to open this door. But Weird Al Yankovic has announced he is going to release his 13th album on July the 15th. This guy's made 13 albums. The follow-up to his 2011 album, Alpocalypse, doesn't have a title yet, but we do know some of the songs he'll be taking on in a parody. He's doing a Iggy Azalea parody from her hit Fancy. And apparently our buddy Patton Oswalt has heard some of this music.
Oh!
And he teased that on this new album, Al makes fun of a band that Patton has worshipped since the 90s, and that his version of their song is, and I quote, beautiful. So.
Love it.
Apparently some new Al music in the works.
Oh my gosh, 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 oh my gosh! What happened? Once.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Missy Peregrine. Oh, I love Missy Peregrine. I miss that Reaper. She was great on Reaper.
She was.
Now she's, I think, Rookie Blue, maybe, is the show she's in.
Oh, my gosh. 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 Oh, my gosh.
No, Rookie Blue's a good show. 32 years old. Eddie Cibrian is 41. And John Cho, perhaps best known these days as Sulu in the new Star Trek movies. 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014. Stop number one is Lollapalooza in Chicago, which is a great festival. It's fun. It's a fantastic city to be in. And you can qualify for that to see the Kings of Leon, Foster the People, Lord, Eminem is playing, Arctic Monkeys, a whole bunch.
That's awesome.
Go to KROQ.com for details. 9:10 is your first chance to qualify.
Why is it so hard to see Eminem in concert?
I don't know, but it is. He doesn't do very many shows.
Yeah. And by not very many, like two or three a year.
Yeah.
Is all he does.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I don't remember the last time. I mean, I guess.
It was the racetrack.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever that show was.
Well, Lollapalooza would be well worth your time. Get the details, as Kevin mentioned, at KROQ.com. We talked about this guy last week, and at the time we brought this up, about this guy who got kicked out of a ballpark because there was a lifetime ban against him, we thought, how did they find him? Like, when you walk into a place that you've been banned from, and in this case, as you'll hear in this story in a moment, years later, how do they recognize you? How do they know it's you? We want to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, of places that you have been banned from. You were told, never come back to this, fill in the blank, restaurant, theme park, movie theater, whatever it is. We want to hear from you. You were banned from a place. Particularly, we want to hear from you if you did go back. Yeah. And we want to find out how it went.
You know what's weird about that is I feel like most of the time they just want you to leave. They don't really mean it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But because they know they can't enforce it.
But in this particular case, they did.
And they did.
And they did. And they did.
He's well known by Dodgers fans and broadcasters as the guy who likes to make a spectacle of himself at games. Troy Sexton is also well known here at Great American Ballpark. He was banned in 2008 for starting a fight that stopped the game in between the Reds and his beloved Dodgers. He was told never to return. But his attorney says he did. He was spotted by a Cincinnati police officer and arrested for trespassing.
He did give the officers a false name. So that he's alleged to have given him a false name.
So it sounds like there's more to this story than just they told him he was banned. I mean, I've been told not to come back to places, but
I'm sure you have.
But I've been back, you know.
But 6 years later,
right.
How does a police officer remember what that one guy looks like?
I can't imagine.
When we brought this up early in the morning last week, listeners wrote in and said that a lot of the stadiums have facial recognition software. which is kind of creepy to think about. But yeah. That at least would make more sense that they would be able to find him. I just can't believe somebody would recognize him.
Yeah, that was a police officer that saw him in person.
Yeah. 6 years later, you'd think it would be safe. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. Where have you been thrown out of and told never to come back? Kevin, I'm sure you've got a long list.
I sort of
K-Rock, for starters. I mean, we've banned you so many times. You still keep showing up.
I got banned from the Grammys before I ever started working doing the voiceover.
Really?
Yeah, I forget what. I think I laser pointered Hootie and the Blowfish.
You think you did? I remember you did.
And then I got interviewed by the security, and I gave them false information. They said never come back. And then I had to get on the phone and apologize to Hootie. I don't know.
Then they hired you.
They didn't know about it. That's the thing. Like, yes. I was banned from Disneyland when I was a kid because I went to Tom Sawyer's Island.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I climbed a tree and I was tearing down branches. I don't know what I was doing. I have no idea. I know my mom was embarrassed.
And they told me to never come back. 800 times
since
then.
But they told me to never come back. And then you go back and, of course, they don't.
Yeah, they don't know
who
you are.
That's why this story stands out to us as, wow, they told him not to come back. And then years later. Six years later.
Yeah,
you would have thought that a week would go by and this guy could walk into that ballpark day or night.
I would have put any amount of money on that.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a couple of calls here. 1-800-520-1067. Where did you get banned from and did you go back and how did it work out for you? Let's start with Brian. He's up first. He's on line one. He's in Woodland Hills, a neighbor of yours, Kevin.
Hey, Brian.
Yo, what's up, guys? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi.
You were banned from what?
I was banned from the Del Amo shopping mall when I was 19 with three of my friends.
Okay. What'd you do?
We were caught smoking weed by an undercover shopper or something. He called the police and they escorted us off the property and said we could never come back.
Now, why would they say you could never come back just because you were smoking weed one time in a mall?
I don't know. Those were the security guards where they said we were banned from Del Amo forever.
But it was Paul Blart security type, right? I mean, it wasn't.
He was on a Segway, right?
No, the cops were there too.
Oh, they were? Okay.
Yeah.
But, I'm sure you've gone back and no one said anything.
Yeah, I went back the next day to go shopping.
That's exactly what we expect of these lifetime bands. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to T.O. T.O. is on line two from Huntington Park, up next on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, T.O.
Hey, how's it going?
What did you get banned from?
I got banned at Disneyland for I got caught stealing at in the store at Tomorrowland. Me and my buddy, it was my 13th birthday. And I'm here now working years later.
You're working at Disneyland.
That's the best.
The place where they banned you from.
Nice security check. I like that.
It was undercover security, correct.
Do you guys think that Disneyland probably bans more people than any other place in Southern California?
I would guess so.
And rightfully so, because if Disneyland says you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it. I mean, they're right.
Of course.
In every way.
In every way, right. All right, T.O., thanks so much for the call. We'll take a quick break, come back with your calls. Where were you banned from for life, and did you go back? Tell us about it. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, when I was in sixth grade, I tried to shoplift some M&Ms, and I was told I was no longer allowed in the store. Probably about a year later, they got some new owners, and I shopped there all the time into adulthood. So suck it, tiny mom-and-pop grocery store. Fire beer mug, Becky. That's the topic we're talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. You were banned from where, and what happened when you tried to go back? David King of Mexico has joined us. You hang on, Dave. We want to go to Gina real quick in Santa Monica. She's on line one.
Hey, Gina.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
You were banned from?
I was banned from Santa Ana Main Place Mall.
Banned from a mall for what?
Me and my friends, we were like punk rockers back in the day when we were 17.
Right.
We were just causing a ruckus. We were banging on the glass upstairs in the food court. I thought it was a big fat joke to steal a penny jar, so I stole like 11 cents.
So when they say to you, you're banned for life, how long do you wait before you attempt to go back?
They actually detained us. They took us in the back room. They took our pictures and stuff, and they said, you cannot come back until you're 18. If you do, you have to be accompanied by an adult.
Oh, well, that's not too bad because you were 17, right?
Yeah.
Huh. That's not so bad.
No, but then I returned to the mall 10 years later and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So.
Good work. Good count on our peeps. I can tell you that right now.
Let's go to Beth in La Palma. She's up next here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Beth, thank you so much for listening and for calling. Where were you banned from?
I was banned from Royal Caribbean Cruise Line.
Oh, wow. Really?
The whole cruise line.
What did you do?
I worked for a mortgage company back in 2006, 2007, and every year we'd have an annual sales conference, and we had done it in Las Vegas for a lot of years. And got kicked out of some of the better VIP clubs there.
Nice.
So we decided we were going to rent a cruise ship, and we were going to do it there. And we had a really great time. We drank the boat dry the night before. We came back in the dock, and we were trying to drink the alcohol that they were loading on for the next cruise that was getting ready to go that day. And we were asked to never come back. Well, we didn't think they meant it because we rented out the whole entire boat for, you know, liability purposes. And, you know, that was a lot of money. We had a really great time. So the next year we tried to book it again, and they were like, we asked you guys never to come back, and we sincerely meant it.
And
so,
you said, what, you meant that?
Yeah, exactly.
So they turned away money. That's how much they didn't want you on their boat.
They turned away money. Not only that, but we had a special guest that we didn't know about, and it wound up being Tom Arnold and, what's his name, Sally from the Best Damn Sports Show.
Uh-huh.
And we had them come on as surprise guests. So we, like, helicoptered them in, and we had a, you know.
What are you doing? What's happening?
I know, right?
What's going on? You just said Tom Arnold helicoptered in. That's not possible.
I'm so sick of stories that involve Tom Arnold helicoptering in on a cruise ship that I've been banned from. All right, Beth, you're awesome. Thank you for the call. King, you don't strike me as the type of guy who would get banned from someplace. What happened?
Oh, King is a guy who would get banned from someplace.
Remember, I'm the guy who hopped over with a fake badge in Vegas and tried to stop traffic.
Oh, you didn't try to stop traffic. Well, you did stop traffic.
Yeah. I was 19, and we stopped by the State Line casinos, and let's just say we weren't sober, and me and my friends were at this place where they had some special car, I can't remember the criminal's car.
Are you talking about the Bonnie and Clyde car?
Yes, yes, yes.
This is in now what's known as Prim. Back then it was State Line.
Yeah, yeah. So
were you on the way to Vegas or coming back
from
Vegas?
We were on the way.
Okay, so yeah. It was just beginning.
It was early in the morning, and you know, I'm trying to take a picture near the car, and my friends thought it'd be funny if they pushed me into the car. Well, they kind of
good fun right there.
Yeah, they pushed me, but I didn't fall into the car as much as the Christmas tree next to it, and knocked it all down, and you know, kind of caused a scene by knocking it down and pulling my friends with me. And of course, we're all underage, so we're in a casino, underage, drunk.
Good, good.
They took us to the back room, make us fill out some papers, say don't come back until you're 21.
Way to call attention to yourself, by the way, when you're in a casino underage. Isn't that, I mean, don't you just expect to be busted at any second for looking too young? So, Kevin, wouldn't you just be like playing it super cool to get away with it?
You would think so, but that part of his brain had been disabled by the alcohol.
I had a hat on and a mustache. I was good. until you know, falling into a Christmas tree.
Until that happened.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Dave. Thank you. Let's go to Laura. We got time for one more. Laura's in Marina Del Rey now. She's in a very tough situation here. What's Laura supposed to do? Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So, 19 years old, Detroit, 2:30 in the morning, go to Denny's to get some French fries. I get kicked out because my sister, apparently, identical twin sister, dines and dashes there regularly.
What? So they had a picture of you up because it was her?
No, man. The guy that owns the place comes up to me screaming in a foreign language, get out, get out. You must get out. You must leave now. And I'm like, what? And all my friends are cracking up. Apparently they know I don't. I have to go sit out on the curb while they sit inside and eat, and I'm banned from that Denny's for life.
That's awesome. But because how are you ever going to convince him? No, seriously, I have a twin sister.
Right. But so I call my sister the next day and ask her what the heck, and she started laughing. She's like, yeah, totally. Dine and dash
all the time. And then you had to pay for it. But let's be honest, you don't want to go back to a Denny's in Detroit.
No, I do not.
Right. Thank you for the call.
So the Kings, right?
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Colin Hanks, very fine actor on Fargo later on in the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a huge Kings fan. In fact, he was our LA Kings correspondent during the playoffs in the run-up to and winning the Stanley Cup in 2012. He was not at the game on Friday night, which blows my mind, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, me too, because he's so obsessed.
Yeah.
So obsessed. And to miss it, to not be there at home to see the Kings skate the cup, it's unbelievable. So we'll talk to him about that later. Kevin, you were there. Tell me what your thoughts were going through the evening.
Oh, it was so brutal because New York was up 2-1, and it stayed like that forever. Everybody was on their feet at the beginning of the third period through the second overtime when Alec Martinez scored.
Oh, my right. God.
It was crazy, crazy loud, and everybody was just going nuts. And we all sort of had the feeling like, look, we know it's difficult. We know they're a good team, but the Kings are somehow going to do it tonight, and I'm here, and I'm excited about that. And it was just craziness, and it was a super long game, went into double overtime, and then Alec Martinez.
Picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford. Feeds it right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings!
And I focused as well as I could on Daryl Sutter to try and get a picture of him smiling.
Uh-huh.
Because yes. He, of course, is the coach of the Kings, and he's very, very low-key. And we keep saying there's got to be a time when he lets loose, you know, underwear on the head kind of moment.
I kept, and I've been thinking the same thing this whole season. You know, he's so reserved in those after-game press conferences. No matter how up or down the team is, he's just very focused, and it's always about what he's going to do tomorrow. You know what I mean? You'd think that once you've won the cup and you're done, now you can let loose and actually enjoy it because there's nothing to be stressed out about, right? Nobody's going to ask any dumb questions. You're done. You've finished.
I was running around Staples Center and high-fiving people, and for 15 or 20 minutes, I kept glancing over at Daryl Sutter because I kept waiting for him to just go crazy, and he's not the go-crazy type.
Really? He still looked like he smelled a fart. That's
pretty
all you
much.
Can get off of Coach Sutter.
I mean, I think he may have smiled. He may have.
Well, we wanted to find out. Now it's, you know, the weekend has passed and he's had a chance to enjoy the win and relax a little bit and get ready for the parade today. So we thought we'd see how excited Coach Sutter is. And he joins us on the phone here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Daryl, how are you? Welcome back, sir. Congratulations on the Stanley Cup.
Thank you.
Where are you right now?
The practice facility.
The practice?
There's no practice. The season's over. You're done. You won.
It's just one game.
No. No, that was it. That was the Stanley Cup winning game.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's no season for a while. And everybody takes the cup. It's a
but
great
there's,
tradition.
There's another season coming up, right?
Well,
yeah, but months
so
from
you
now.
So you don't care about winning then?
Well, yeah, we're just saying that it seems like you have to, you know, smell the flowers along the way a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you won the cup.
Uh-huh.
And the parade is today at noon.
Don't think smelling flowers wins you hockey games.
Right, but
okay,
that's not what I meant.
You don't have any hockey games.
Said.
Right, but you don't have to win any hockey games for a long time now. You have the summer to relax and enjoy yourself a little bit and just
sure.
go, hey, no. I won 2 Stanley Cups in 3 years. Look, check me out.
Well, okay, so how many teams have you coached? No, tell me more about your plan for the summer. I think it's fascinating.
Well, there is the tradition of every player.
No, I want to hear more about him drinking iced tea on the porch and how that's going to win hockey games.
Well, yeah. It's not. We're just saying maybe.
No, you're right. It's not.
Okay, but are you enjoying the fact that the season's over and you won?
Sure.
Are you going to be at the parade today at 5th and Fig at noon?
Yeah.
You're going to be
okay,
there.
All right. Well, that's good. That's a little something. At least you'll get to see other people having a good time and enjoying the cup.
And then 1 o'clock at Staples Center, you're going to be in there.
Mm-hmm. And then 3 o'clock at Staples Center, I'll be on the ice. Anybody wants to come practice, they're more than welcome.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to want to. I mean,
well, your team is still drunk, Daryl. You know that,
did
right?
Did you go to the Hermosa Beach bar after the game with the cup?
No.
You didn't?
No, I was working on X's and O's.
Well, apparently they were all eating M&M's out of the Stanley Cup. It sounds like it was a hell of a party.
Yeah.
Everybody was there.
Oh, that wins hockey games, eating M&M's.
Well, it's not that it wins hockey games. It's that you can take your eye off that prize just for, let's say, a day.
Well, you would know. You've done all that coaching.
I haven't really
How long
coached.
Did you play then?
I didn't play.
Oh, you didn't play hockey either?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I came to you two for advice on how to win hockey games.
Well, listen, we'll let you get back.
On my staff for next season.
We just wanted to congratulate you on a great, great season and a great, great final.
Well, enjoy all your time off. Whatever it is you do.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeBean Show at 7:52.
Beer Mug on the red carpet. Boy, it's been a long time since we've sent him out to do interviews with the stars. He was at 22 Jump Street, and we're going to have those for you next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us right now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 22 Jump Street, as expected, debuted at number one this weekend. $60 million.
You know.
Made it number one. How to Train Your Dragon 2 debuted very well as well. $50 million made it number two. Then Maleficent, Edge of Tomorrow, and The Fault in Our Stars were the top five movies at the box office, followed by X-Men Days of Future Past, Godzilla, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Neighbors, and Chef.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
I talked to the chief yesterday for Father's Day. I said, what have you been up to? He said, well, I went to the movies yesterday. What'd you go see? I went to see The Million Ways to Die in the West.
Hey, how about that?
The language was atrocious, son.
Yeah, it's not... It's not for the old and conservative. That's
I don't understand why they had to speak like that. It was very uncomfortable, the theater. There were young women there.
Wow.
He was very upset by it. I said, Chief, I said, you know it's a Seth MacFarlane movie. You know that's what you're going to get when you go to it.
That's you go to it.
You can't complain that it's not for you if you're intentionally going to see something that you know is not for you. He's like, I don't get it.
Well, tell him to be a little more educated before he goes to theater next time. Now I want to kick your dad's ass, too. The whole family, I just want to kick their ass.
Well, there's one thing we know about that movie, is it's not for 70-year-olds.
Nope.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. My own father's like, I'm not going to go see it.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
And I'm in.
You made the right call.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I supported it. I was like, absolutely no, Dad. This is not, it's not something you would enjoy.
You would not enjoy this.
It's not about me. Casey Kasem passed away this weekend. Of course, everyone knows by now. Died on Sunday in the hospital at Gig Harbor, Washington. His daughter's Carrie, posted a note on Facebook, which let everyone know what had happened. Interesting career this guy had. Began his career in the Army, where he worked as a DJ for Armed Forces Radio during the Korean War. That was in 1952. After the war, he worked in several radio stations before he created American Top 40 in 1970. Did the show until 1988. Then launched Casey's Coast to Coast, which ran from 89 to 98. Then he went back to American Top 40 into 2004 when Ryan Seacrest had him physically removed from that position and took over. They say Seacrest probably killed him.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Wow, I didn't hear that part.
But besides that, he was also a legendary voiceover actor, very talented voiceover actor. Famously gave his voice, of course, to Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Quick, do something, Scoob!
And then for many comic book kids like myself, we grew up with Casey Kasem as our Robin to Olin Soleil's Batman in the Batman cartoon and also Super Friends. Here's a little Casey rocking some Boy Wonder.
When is a museum like an inflated balloon?
Holy brain teasers! Sounds like the work of the Riddler.
This is vandalism! Look, more on the sword!
Why does the king raise his sword?
I've got it. A museum is like an inflated balloon when it is blown up.
And the king raises his sword to knight Sir Jonathan.
That means the Riddler intends to blow up this museum tonight.
Boy Wonder figuring out the riddle's clue.
Pretty quickly.
He's the Boy Wonder.
You didn't even have to think about
it. Because he's the Boy Wonder.
I gotcha.
Imagine if Kevin was Batman's sidekick.
I don't even understand. What is a balloon? Let's go sit down and have some granola bars.
You know, there's hope. I didn't think there was hope, but now there's hope. Not only...
For who? For what?
For the world.
Okay.
Not only has the latest season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians in its season premiere pulled 30% less viewers than it did the previous season.
Sweet. Oh, that's great news.
It is great news. I mean, it seems like the audience is just saying, enough.
Excellent!
Everyone is over Kim, Khloe, Kourtney, chlamydia, and kleptomania.
And there's also so much Kardashian news on the regular news and entertainment shows now that you don't even have to go to their show to get them anymore.
Brother Rob has reportedly quit the show.
Oh, no!
And is quoted saying the show has ruined his family. So that's good news. And then at the Bonnaroo Music Festival... This weekend, did you hear about this? Kanye West booed.
I did not hear
that.
He
was the headliner. He got up on stage And first of all, he was doing that BS Yeezus thing where he puts on the fencing mask,
sure,
or whatever, and sings through it.
Yeah.
Got up on stage, launched into one of his songs, and started yelling, where the press at? F the press. He started screaming about the press. There was, like, no press there. It was just, you know, the Bonnaroo Festival. Mostly,
just, yeah,
you know,
hippies.
Yeah, mostly concert goers. Then he started into another sermon, saying that he had the best work ethic of any artist. His commitment to his craft was the best. He said he was humbled in a way that gives him strength because at 37, what you see of me now is only the beginning. I am the number one mother effing rock star on the planet. It was at that moment that Us Weekly, Entertainment Weekly magazine says he was met with a violent chorus of boos throughout and a mass exodus of the audience left the performance area and began filling up Disclosure's dance tent early, waiting for them.
I love it.
There were punctuated, well-organized chants of F Kanye throughout the audience as they walked away. And they said there was graffiti all over the fairgrounds. F Kanye, F Kanye. Everywhere you looked, it was spray-painted F Kanye.
Starting to finally backfire?
So,
there's hope?
There is hope. That's what I'm saying. There's hope. We may have turned the corner, people. We may be returning.
My favorite tag, my favorite spray paint that I saw of the photos at Bonnaroo was, hey, Kanye, Kim gave a better performance.
Zing!
What's he going to do if people start turning on him?
Oh, man.
I mean, what do you think his reception has been like around the world? I imagine still pretty positive, right? For a while.
Look, well, he's always able to get a crowd that wants to see him perform,
right,
and will put up with his BS.
But shut the F up and...
Well, if you go to a festival where you're not necessarily the guy that they're coming to see,
yeah, that's true.
I think he gets a taste of the reality, which is a lot of people don't dig him.
Right. I agree.
Which is sweet.
And it's kind of a shame because he is very talented.
I think so, too. But I don't want to hear him tell me how talented he is.
Or how he's the biggest mother effing star in the world, yeah, and his work
ethic
is
beyond known. Just show me with your music. Right.
Well,
I'd say shut up and sing.
That's what you would say.
Sure.
I heard Elton John just killed it at Bonnaroo. Does that surprise you guys?
Not at all. I think he's brilliant. His music may not be for everybody, but I think he's a remarkable singer-songwriter and an amazing live performer.
Little fat dude now.
He is. He's a little
super
old,
little fat dude.
Guy, but he brings it, man. I saw him in Vegas. I was really impressed.
I would expect him to kill in Vegas, though. That seems like his crowd. But at Bonnaroo, when you're out there on a bill with bands like Disclosure and an artist like Kanye West, you know, I'm surprised how well received he was. But apparently, he was just it was the show of the whole weekend.
But he doesn't coast in Vegas either. It's not like he's out there and he knows people are just there to see him and he can just do it. He brings it. I mean, he works his butt off.
Yeah,
and he's
very impressive,
very very talented guy.
Kevin, you have to hate him, right? He's old.
Yeah, you must hate him.
I saw him in Vegas.
What?
Of course, was.
Dragged there by your wife?
Dragged there by my wife, and he was great.
Isn't he great live?
Yeah, he really is. Today's got tiny little fat hands. Just little bitty hands. I don't know how he plays the piano like that. Back to you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor John Cho is 42 years old today. Eddie Cibrian turns 41. He's an actor or something, right? All I know him is like he boned Leanne Rimes and behind his wife's back, and then they
I
split up.
I think that's right. I think he's an actor, but best known for his personal squabbles.
His boning. Best known for boning. And actress Missy Peregrine, and I didn't even know this, but Rookie Blue comes back this week.
Oh.
So if you're a Missy Peregrine fan like I am, you can check her out the new season. She's 32 years old today, and I'm Ralph Garman. I walk this show business.
1 hour from right now is your first chance this week to qualify to win K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014. Stop number one is Lollapalooza in Chicago. Great lineup this year with Kings of Leon and Foster the People, Lord, Eminem, Arctic Monkeys, so much more. 9:10 every day this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll hook you up. And then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10, you can get more details at krock.com.
Remember when Bean donated a kidney?
Yes, I do.
And he was afraid of the surgery and the anesthesia, sorry. And we took calls from people that anesthesia gone wrong.
They woke up.
To make him worse.
Yes.
Because that's my biggest nightmare in the whole world.
Because it happens.
It does happen. It happens very rarely. It's like a couple times every 100,000 surgeries. But, I mean, think about how many surgeries are done every year. It's happening to several people a year.
So at some point, though, you had to make your decision. It's going to be okay. It's pretty good odds.
So yeah, you just got to go for it and realize the worst could happen, but the odds are in your favor. You're likely going to be fine.
So I'm going to the World Cup. Right. We've been planning this for a couple of years. Right. And I'm leaving Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shouldn't be surprised that everybody keeps sending me all of these stories in the news about how bad it is there. The mm-hmm. poverty level. I don't know if you guys are watching the coverage, but have you noticed that the intro and all of the scenic beauty that they show there is all animated?
I have noticed that. And I keep saying
it's one of the most beautiful places on earth.
I keep saying to my wife, this coverage is so bizarre because when you are at the Olympics, they go into the whole
right.
country and show you. They meet the people and they show you the villages and how they make a living and everything. There's no backstory. It's almost like they've swept the country of people. There are no Brazilians in Brazil right now for the World Cup.
It's bizarre.
It's crazy.
You watch the coverage and you'll go, I thought Brazil was beautiful. Why is it all Disney-fied?
I can't believe that.
So, you know, you hear of people getting robbed and you hear of people getting, the cop that got an arrow shot in his leg and they got the military police coming in to take care of it. But
are they afraid to go out and get the footage? Is that the problem?
I don't know. But I do know that I had at some point considered, you know, what if it's too dangerous? But then I remembered South Africa, where I wanted to go in 2010, and they were saying kidnapping, you got to be worried and all this kind of stuff. And I sat back at home and everybody was fine. It was no big deal. So I finally decided everything's fine.
Okay.
I'm just going to go. I'm going to go to the World Cup. I'm going to be fine.
And you have been watching the games,
yes.
including the game over the weekend that was in the stadium that you're going to see the U.S. play.
Yes.
That stadium out in the middle of the Amazon rainforest, Manaus. And you saw that it looked fine. It looked safe. Everybody looked happy and healthy. You didn't see, beatdowns or anything like that. I mean, it seems like the infrastructure is working.
Yes, but there sure is a lot of animation in that coverage. Does that worry you at all?
That's very disturbing.
It's all animated.
Lisa, they did this whole thing on how this stadium out in the middle of the rainforest is where two great rivers meet. And it's the Amazon River. Mm-hmm. I want to see the Amazon River. It was animated. They showed you animated rivers coming together. And I don't know if that's because if they shot the real river, we'd see bodies floating in it, or what are they hiding?
What's up? At some point, you start to get a little bit overwhelmed.
As you should.
So I guess it is possible that I could die.
Kevin's gonna die, 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 die. Kevin's gonna die, die, die. Kevin's gonna do a lot of drinking. And of course, not much thinking. Kevin's gonna go to Brazil. And of course, he will be killed. It's the World Cup. Hope your team win before you come back in the coffin.
I'm not sure I'm that happy about it. But, to get tickets for a World Cup game, they have a lottery, and you have to know exactly when it is, and you have mm-hmm. to get in the lottery and stuff. And we got tickets for the U.S.-Germany game, but they're pretty bad. So we all pooled our money. There's four of us going.
Okay.
We all pooled our money, and we said, let's upgrade one ticket.
Oh, you can do that?
Well, you can buy them from scalpers or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So we said, we're super high in the arena. We're going all the way down there. Let's all buy some tickets. So
okay.
I got this text yesterday. By the way, we got rid of our bad tickets.
Okay.
Sold them. Bought some new ones.
All right.
This is a text from the guy who is in charge of it, which is Brad Williams' brother-in-law, Kevin. By the way, remember the tickets I bought for U.S. Germany? They had been shipped, but FedEx got robbed. So working on plan B.
Oh my God.
We gave up the tickets and bought new ones, and they got lifted from FedEx.
Oh my God.
Kevin's gonna die, 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 die. Kevin's gonna die, die, die.
That's not good, right?
At least you won't die at the game, since you apparently won't be at the game.
Kevin's gonna die, 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 die. Kevin's gonna die, die, die.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Monday morning. Our friend Colin Hanks from TV's Fargo joins us next hour. And, of course, talking about the Los Angeles Kings and their Stanley Cup victory Friday night. Also, congratulations to the San Antonio Spurs for their NBA victory last night. That was a blowout, by the way.
If somebody would have told you that Miami Heat were going to be in the finals, you would have said, of course.
Of course right. they are. 4 years in a row, right?
But they'll get blown out.
Yes.
You would put any amount of money against that.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, that's all coming up. Hey, we've been mentioning, as Ralph has been bringing up, the Showbiz Beat every hour, we've been talking about the late Casey Kasem, who did die yesterday. There are probably some people who may not be too familiar with his work. He's been off the radio for about a few years. 2009 is when he retired.
But he was on for like 40 years or something like that. He was the countdown guy. He was the guy who started American Top 40, which was a top 40 countdown show. And there are a lot of them now. Carson Daly does one and Ryan Seacrest does one. But his was the first one that went around the world counting down records from number 40 to number one.
You know how you never think of things like that? Like, I always just assumed he took over that from whoever came up with it,
Right.
I didn't realize, like he said, hey, we should play the from 40 to number one and do a countdown. You don't think about that.
Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of trouble getting it off the ground at the very beginning. It launched with just seven stations back in 1970. And it was a lot of program directors were like, why would you count backwards on the radio? But anyway, so he passed away. And, you know, there's plenty of great tributes you can find him online. You know, we've poked fun over the years of the famous outtakes of Casey Kasem. Here's about a 20-second version of probably the most famous thing that we've ever played on this show, which is him trying to do a dedication about a dead dog in one of the long-distance dedications.
Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please.
It's not happening.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone?
Is Don on the phone indeed? Now, anyone who's ever done a radio show will tell you that there are thousands of hours of tape just like that. I mean, Casey was certainly not alone. Kevin, how much tape do you think we go through trying to lay down a 15-second promotional announcement for the weekend? Here on K-Rock.
For 15 seconds, probably 3 minutes and 45 seconds is me, and then you for 10.
And when you have to do a commercial, if you're doing a 60-second commercial, how much tape is there usually on something like that?
Hours.
Yeah. So Casey was no exception. So here's another tape that I don't think we played of him doing the promo liners for the various stations around the country that are playing the countdown. And I think, Kevin, you'll relate to this. You and Casey actually have a lot in common.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 12, right here on Center County's most popular radio station, WRSC. Radio 1390. This is Casey Kasem inviting you to join me for American Top 40 immediately following the Trailblazer game on 1390 KSLM Salem. Hey, what the f*** am I doing? Promos inside the f***ing game? This is Casey Kasem inviting you to listen for American Top 40 immediately following the Trailblazer game on... This is Casey Kasem inviting you to listen... This is Casey Kasem... The countdown will begin this Saturday morning at 9 and again Sunday morning at 9 right here on Maine's most listened to radio station, W... I'm not going to say all that. How do I know they're the most listened to station?
Oh, I'll take their word for it. Okay, drop it out and get it right here on...
No, you know what I'm saying? The countdown will begin this Saturday night at 7 and again Sunday evening at... The countdown will begin this Saturday night at 7 and again Sunday evening at 5 right here on WRLD 1490 Radio Lynette, Alabama. The countdown will begin this Saturday afternoon at 2 and again Sunday afternoon at... And again Sunday afternoon at 2. The countdown will begin this Saturday afternoon at 2 and again Sunday afternoon at 2 right here on WDHP FM, your favorite music radio. Oh, f*** it.
Well, you're right.
Your favorite music. No, your favorite music radio. FM, your favorite music radio. That's the way it's got to be read. Let's do it again.
By the way, how many times have you been that guy? Well, let's do it again.
And how many stations was he on?
Over 500 in the 1980s he was
Good
on. So
Lord.
I'm sure he spent a lot of time trying to do these stupid liners. We got a little bit more.
He gets
more.
Out a lot more than I do before I quit.
Yeah. It's tough, though, man. It's tough.
This is Casey Kasem inviting you to listen. This is Casey Kasem. You're listening to American Top 40 on QT, WQTW La Trobe. It's getting set for Westmoreland County.
Jeez.
What? The probe getting set for Westmoreland County. The f*** does that mean? The countdown will begin this Saturday afternoon at 1, right here where you're feeling the... God damn.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with. Music Radio 138. Oh, f***. What the hell's going on here? Jeez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Jeez, I thought we were almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly. What is it? F***ing ponderous, man. Ponderous. F***ing ponderous.
Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. 2.
That's my favorite. He's reading it and he realizes that his show is on at 2 in the morning. He's like, 2? R.I.P. Casey Kasem.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. Beer Mug Interviews. Let's hear it.
I just, All right, here's what happens behind the scenes. Beer Mug goes to the red carpet, does interviews, brings them back, gives them to Omar. Omar goes through them, and then they post them. Like, for example, you can go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com, click on Kevin and Bean. You can see Beer Mug interviewing people.
All right.
And the early word that we got back was that he's getting better and they're not so good.
Oh, I know. Omar came in that first day shaking his head saying, you guys are going to be very disappointed. These interviews are actually good questions, like the type of stuff that people would want to know. And that's not what we send Beer Mug out for.
So his first interview is Travis Barker. And I listened to it several times before I finally realized the magic of this is that Travis Barker just takes it and runs. Beer Mug doesn't have to ask follow-up
questions.
So it's
not a good interview. It's that Travis Barker did it himself.
In this particular case.
22 drum seat world premiere. Who do I see? Mr. Travis Barker. What's up, Travis?
What's happening?
You got a song on the soundtrack with Juicy J.
It was a song that I sent to Juicy for my album. And he called me a couple hours later, like at 1 or 2 in the morning. It was like, yo, a room full of people heard this song and they wanted it for a movie. You know, what was this track for again? And I was like, I guess it's for the movie. You know, whatever. We maybe spent 3 hours on it, 4 hours, and I sent it to Juicy, and then it just came to life. Any tracks like that, they just come to life real quick. They don't take a lot of thinking. They're usually the ones that kill it.
So that's all Travis.
Yeah. But I have to give Muggs the credit for knowing that he had a song on the soundtrack rather than having no clue why he was there on the red carpet. That was actually pretty good on Muggs, too.
And then Muggs starts to talk. With Travis Barker standing in front of him.
What I've learned from you, Mr. Barker, is that no drum beat is hard enough for you. You are the man. You are the man. And
all right, now that's. I don't know why he decided that he wanted to mic Travis Barker while he was speaking. He pulled the microphone away from his own mouth.
Well, you are the man. You are the man. And. My buddy Omar was asking me the other day, he's like, who's your favorite drummer? And I said, you.
I guarantee Omar never asked you that. Omar never asked you who your favorite drummer is he would be afraid you would answer forever.
And I don't know why you would ever tell somebody that a friend asked you who your favorite drummer was rather than just say you're my favorite drummer. Like, why would you convolute that story like that?
My buddy Omar was asking me the other day, he's like, who's your favorite drummer? And I said, you, because you took a basic punk rhythm genre, and my opinion, you made Blink 182 what they are today.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, on Enema of the State, you hear your technicalities are amazing.
Stop. Please stop. I'm so embarrassed right now. I'm so embarrassed on Travis right now. So now you're going to do a breakdown of every album and talk about what his contribution was and what it meant to you and your friend Omar?
Yes. My buddy Omar was asking me the other day, he's like, who's your favorite drummer? And I said, you, because you took a basic punk rhythm genre, and my opinion, you made Blink 182 what they are today.
Oh, thank you.
All right, now right there, he says, oh, thank you. Get out.
Yeah, let him go. Let the man go. He's been nice enough to stop by and spend some time with you. Let him go.
I mean, on Enema of the State, you hear your technicalities are amazing.
You hear on Enema of the State, you hear your technicalities are amazing.
I don't know what that means.
I think I was trying.
And I thrive to be you every day.
What does that mean? How do you thrive to be Travis Barker every day? And who's failing more than you? How do you do that? Do you drum every day?
Do you mean strive, by the way?
Maybe.
I'm not positive who this is.
And do you ever hear a beat that almost is good, but doesn't have the Juicy J touch to it, so you have to put your thing to it yourself? Does that happen a lot?
What?
Good question.
Was that Juicy J?
That was Juicy J, yeah.
And you asked him if he ever felt that there was something that he had to put his stuff all over.
His thing?
His thing.
And do you ever hear a beat that almost is good, but doesn't have the Juicy J touch to it, so you have to put your thing to it yourself? Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, I put my thing to it myself a lot.
Well said.
That happens a lot.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I knew how to produce beats because EDM is where it's at.
All right, now who's this?
That was the DJ who was he was playing music throughout the whole red carpet.
Okay, why were you interviewing him?
Sometimes the publicist on the red carpet will just come up to you and say, "Hey, do me a favor, interview this guy." So that's
Diplo was supposed to play, and they called me in last minute because he couldn't make it. So
I would just drop the mic and walk out.
I don't understand that.
I'm not sure either. I really
if Diplo was supposed to play and they asked this guy to do it, that's good, right?
Yeah.
So when you say drop the mic and walk out, that's just like I've made it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you were trying
to
say?
That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay, gotcha.
It's not clear enough for you guys?
No, it's not for me.
Craig! Craig, your fro's looking sick!
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson! Your fro's looking tight!
I don't know how that's supposed to make him go, "Hey, I'm going to come over and talk to you," but that didn't happen.
Jillian Bell, she plays Mercedes in 22 Jump Street. Now, my publicist just told me that you steal the movie.
What I meant to say was your publicist.
Okay.
Not my I don't have a publicist.
You better not, because if you do, we have trouble.
By the way, I haven't seen the movie yet, but this Jillian Bell, I love her on Workaholics. I mean, she's very, very funny.
Yes,
and
she is.
I hear she is great in this movie, too.
She's great. She's beautiful. She's got everything. And Muggs is...
Jillian Bell, she plays Mercedes in 22 Jump Street. Now, my publicist just told me that you steal the movie.
How about a random observation about an NBA player?
Kevin Durant. He is not short.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Rob Riggle.
Very funny man right here. Mr. Rob Riggle. He plays Mr. Walters in the movie. Now, I saw 21 Jump Street. Haven't seen 22 yet.
All right. Where do you think he's going with this question, Bean?
Well, he's going to ask something about what the character does in the second movie, I would assume, or how
Very
they use him differently.
Very funny man right here. Mr. Rob Riggle. He plays Mr. Walters in the movie. Now, I saw 21 Jump Street. Haven't seen 22 yet. Do you turn into a huge ice cream cone again?
No!
Oh, I can't wait!
It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Oh, I can't wait!
So your question was, do you do the exact same thing that happened in the first movie?
Yeah.
That was your question.
You'd be surprised if he said yes to that, right, Muggs? I mean, you pretty much know the answer to that is no before you ask.
Now he's got Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum in front of him. By the way, Muggs, Muggs is on Scissorp today.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
That's why he's so spacey.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so he's got Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, and they're talking about how they try to keep from breaking up.
When you're filming with Channing, and you have to get back into character from a very funny scene, what's the method you do to get serious again? Because I couldn't imagine... You guys getting back.
He basically assaults me until he's...
Now, I like that because Jonah Hill just realizes that you're not going to end the question, and he just jumps in and rescues you.
Happy enough to shoot a funny scene. All right, so basically what happened the other day, we were shooting a skit, and the door locked accidentally when I went out, so I tried to come back in, and I basically walked into the door. So for the next 45 minutes after that, we couldn't shoot anything because they were just making fun of me. So... You just have to wait it out sometimes. I got a door open in college in case you...
So that happened. He actually talked to the two stars.
Nice. That's a great day on the red carpet, yeah.
Then he went back to the DJ.
I like your glasses.
Thank you.
I like your hat.
Thank you, man.
Keep rocking.
Thank you.
Yep. That happened. And then, I don't know who he's talking here, but he's wrapping it up, and it seems like he's talking to somebody, but I think he's just talking to himself, basically.
So there you have it, folks. Red carpet, world premiere, 22 Jump Street. I think I got most of the people that I wanted to get. A little upset that I didn't get... Sorry, I've had no food today. Only thing I had was a Subway sandwich in the morning.
By the way, I knew that. I knew because we get food every morning, and we always ask Beer Mug, do you have any other food during the day? And he says no. I mean, he says yes all the time. He only eats here.
Yeah.
That's why he eats my food and your food and Ralph's food and Dave's food. And one final muse about not getting everybody that he wanted to interview.
I think I got mostly everybody I wanted to talk to. Didn't get the cube, ice to the cube, but hey, better luck next time.
Now, who are you talking to? You? When you say better luck next time, are you talking to us?
Yeah.
The audience?
The listening audience.
You're saying better luck next time.
Yeah.
For you, I hope that I get to talk to Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got mostly everybody I wanted to talk to. Didn't get the cube, ice to the cube, but hey, better luck next time. Yay, yay!
So there you go. You
can see those. I like the end.
You can see those at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Click on Kevin and Bean and watch. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
And that means you're listening to Ralph Garman and the end of that song and then the Showbiz Beat.
Not enough old creaky wooden ship seafaring songs on this station, I've always said. It is Monday. It means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 22 Jump Street. You just heard the amazing interviews. Now, you'll be happy to know that Beer Mug played a large role in getting it to be number one at the box office this weekend as well. $60 million made it number one. When I listen to you technicalities on every record.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Borat has a better command of the English language. I thrive to be like you.
That was my favorite.
Don't try to use big words. This is the moral of the story there. How to train your dragon. I almost said drain again.
Yep. Very
how
different.
To train your dragon.
You
to,
read that one time and then you can never forget it.
Sticks in your head. $50 million made it number two at the box office. Maleficent was third. Edge of Tomorrow, The Fault in Our Stars were your top five movies at the box office. X-Men Days of Future Past was sixth. Then Godzilla, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Neighbors, and Chef. Running at your top ten. Miranda Kerr.
Yes.
And Carly Kloss in the news. They want you to know that they are not, I repeat, not models. So don't call them that, okay?
What?
What are they?
Well, Lisa, I'm glad you asked. Miranda, when she gets asked what she does for a living, she says, I have my own skincare line. I don't define myself as a model. Listen to me.
But doesn't she stand in front of a camera and have people take pictures of her and then they pair to do that?
Bean. All day, every day?
Bean. Isn't that what being
so
a model
silly.
Is?
You're so silly. I think Carly Kloss says it best. When she says, I treat myself more as an athlete than as a model.
How does everyone else treat her?
But I'm not a professional athlete. And I'm not a professional dancer. I'm not a professional anything. I've always considered my modeling, I've never considered modeling an actual job title. I have yet to determine what my job actually is. But modeling is a fun and funny gig. Wow. That sounds like a great job, because that's your job, is being a model.
There's no shame in being a model,
yeah, why
by the
is
way,
that
ladies?
Such a negative?
They're running from that.
They're model deniers now. I don't understand. With their skincare lines and their endorsements. The reason you have a skincare line is because you're a very famous model.
Right.
They don't define themselves that way, Ralph.
I know. I just, what's going on?
I don't know.
What the heck's going on?
I mean, Kevin and I are models, and we just own it.
Right.
We just accept the fact that
like
we were born to look like this, and people, you know, people want to use us.
You know, you're impossibly attractive, and you're not going to shy away from it.
Just look at us like a piece of meat.
That's
nothing
right.
Nothing to be embarrassed about.
So jeez. Be it. Bean will be very happy. BBC announced this week they're starting to film new Teletubbies episodes.
A nation rejoices.
Teletubbies are coming back.
Why?
Wow, when Bean says that.
Because
well, I mean, look,
kids
all of these
like to watch them.
But all of these shows have their moment, you know, whether it's the Bananas in Pajamas or whatever. They come and they're on for a few years, and then you move on, the kids get something else. Teletubbies, same thing. I think that was a time and place.
365 episodes were filmed from 1997 to 2001 in the UK, featuring, of course, Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, and Poe.
Oh my gosh, 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 oh my gosh!
Now the BBC says they're going to be doing an additional 60 episodes so kids can discover them anew.
Time for Tubby Bye Bye! Time for Tubby Bye Bye!
Yeah, that show was some BS.
Yeah,
that
was.
Show was an acid trip, wasn't it?
It was just...
Well, most of us didn't watch it regularly and or have a favorite character, Bean.
How many years did he tell us, oh, I love Poe.
I'm a Poe guy.
Poe's my favorite.
I enjoyed the Tubbies at the time, but again, I've moved on. When I was a child, I speak as a child.
You didn't watch as a child. You watched as an adult.
That was like
you
4 years ago.
You spake as a grown-up. You spake as a giant asshole.
dare you. But you'd watch The Wiggles.
I have a four-year-old! No, no one would watch that unless they had to. That falls into the category of your kids are going to watch something. It might as well be something that doesn't drive you out of your mind.
Find the least offensive and obnoxious of all the children's programming and then join in watching her.
There are some children's shows that have appeal for adults. There are adults who watched watched My Little Pony, for instance.
Yes.
As an example.
And they're a special group.
We discussed that.
They're a remarkable crowd there. We think highly of them,
I was a legitimate fan of the Powerpuff Girls when that was on.
And
that
you're
was,
legitimately creepy.
That was a kid show, but it was really well done. It was a lot of fun to watch.
My horny level.
Come on. Not like that.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Yeah, and you're watching My Little Pony.
Did you bring condoms with you?
All right, we don't really need
He's just reading from your text, Bean.
You like doggy? Do you shave down there?
Yeah, okay. This is why Foo Fighters are the best.
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
All right. There was a group of people in Richmond, Virginia, who said, you know, we haven't seen the Foos here since 1998. So a guy named Andrew Golden sets up a crowd hoster campaign. It's one of these crowdsourcing fundraising sites.
Okay.
He starts it in March. He says, I want to sell 1,400 hypothetical tickets for Foo Fighters.
Did he pick out a venue and everything for them?
Yes. $50 a piece. Now, if everyone buys these hypothetical tickets at $50 a pop, we can raise enough money to try to convince the Foos to come and do their first show in Richmond, Virginia since 1998.
Why not?
As of Saturday, they raised $70,000 hypothetical dollars in sales for tickets for a hypothetical show. Friday, Dave Grohl said, all right, we'll see you soon.
That's pretty cool. Yeah!
See you soon. Let's have a good time, he tweeted to Richmond,
awesome.
Virginia. So the concert is not on the band's official schedule yet, but Dave said it will be soon, and they are going to Richmond, Virginia to please their fans who haven't seen them in years.
Come on. Come on.
He's the best.
He is. Biggest rock band in the world, and he's just as happy playing a pizza parlor as he is Wembley Stadium. That's what's great about Dave.
That's the truth. He just loves the crowd, loves the audience, and loves the music.
I think I would like to shower with you.
Come on. We all watch children's programming in the back of a van with duct tape and ether, don't we?
I'm cute, though. Built good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor John Cho is 42 years old. Actor Eddie Cibrian is 41.
Want to meet you and fool around.
And Misty Peregrine is 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford. Feeds it right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound. Score!
There was.
Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings.
Do yourself a favor. Whether you're a hockey fan or not, try to find the audio of Jim Fox when the Kings won the cup. He just loses it. He literally is going, woo, woo, woo. It's awesome.
Double overtime win Friday night. Colin Hanks, of course, has been our official NHL playoff and LA Kings correspondent for the last time they won the cup in 2012. And then we talked to him a couple times this time around. And it is now over, and it's time to check in with Mr. Hanks one more time. Hey, Colin, buddy, how are you?
Oh, it's a good day to be a Kings fan. That's for sure. It's a good summer to be a Kings fan. It's a good 3 years, really, when you think about it.
Colin, have you ever spent any time with the cup in person?
I have, yes. I've been fortunate enough to spend a couple of times with the cup during the last go around, and if I'm fortunate enough and I get, you know, a couple of invites, hopefully we'll be able to do the same this summer.
Tell me about the tweet that you sent out referencing coming home Friday night to watch the game.
I have something to admit. I was not at the game. I was
not in
the state.
You weren't in the state.
I was in Austin for a friend's wedding. Now, let me preface this. My friend who is getting married, a very old friend of mine, Julie Granis, we used to run around the forum as kids at old Kings games.
Then shouldn't she know better?
And if she could have rescheduled the wedding, I'm sure she would have. But we were at the welcome dinner there in Austin, Texas. all the speeches were just canceled, and everyone went to the bar, and we watched one hell of a hockey game. Jeez, I mean, double overtime. But this whole—I mean, this whole. Let's be honest. This whole series has been insane. So when I come home, you know, even though I allotted 3 hours plus on the backside on the DVR, I only got to watch about 15 minutes of the post games, and I recorded about three different post games, and I only got to watch the first 15 minutes of all three.
On my TV, it was the Stanley Cup final, and then it was the Quest for the Cup show that was scheduled afterwards, and then it was all the way through the news, and then it was all the way through Extra, and then it was all the way through Dateline NBC. It just kept going on and on and on, and you wanted to have it on your DVR so you could go back and watch it all summer long whenever you felt like it, right?
Like, I even, like, bought the app so I could order it on my phone, you know what I mean? Like, I did so much homework on this thing, but you can't, you know, I mean, with everything with these Kings, they didn't make it easy, but they pulled through at the end. That's all that matters.
It was such an unbelievable postseason. I mean, making history by having to go 7 games in round one against the Sharks, 7 games against the Ducks, 7 games against the Blackhawks. I mean, the Stanley Cup final seemed like a skate compared to that.
Well, let's talk about this, because this is quite arguably the most impressive postseason a team has had in any sport. In any sport. The reverse sweep, like you said, the bookend sweep against the Mallards, as I like to say, going up against the defending Stanley Cup champions in Chicago, winning all 3 Game 7s on the road. And then let's not forget, this 5-game series, okay, so the Kings win in 5 games. On the surface, that may look simple. It, in fact, was not. That was the closest 5-game series I've ever seen. The Kings beat the Rangers 3 times in overtime. If you allot for all of the overtimes, it's almost the equivalent of 7 games.
Yeah.
So it's not like these guys just sort of coasted in, you know, at the end and just finish off the Rangers. The Rangers could have won 3 of those games. The only game that they didn't come close was Quick's shutout in his first game at Madison Square Garden. So, I mean, it's just quite simply the most impressive thing in sports I think we will see for quite some time.
Well, they definitely deserved it. There's no question about that. And we're so, so darn happy for them. And I just can't believe all season long you dream about the Stanley Cup final. And then when the calendar is revealed, you're not going to be able to be there in person. That's unbelievable.
I canceled so many things in the lead up. I canceled so many things. And this was the one thing I just could not cancel. But it was for a fellow Kings fan, so it all worked out fine. It worked out.
It sounds like you're trying to tell yourself that.
Guys, it worked out.
By the way, the victory parade is today starting at noon. The parade begins down at 5th and Figueroa, head south to Staples Center, and that is open to all fans. If you want more details, you can check that out for the victory parade today. Hey, Colin, while we have you on the line, Fargo wraps up season one, I assume. Is this a one-time deal? Are you guys coming back for season two, or is this just one of those deals like True Detective where it starts and finishes and then it's done?
You know, they haven't really said yet. They're not quite sure if they're going to do a second season. So I'm sort of in the dark on all of that stuff. I know that there's been some rumors that if there is a second season, that it would sort of be a new cast and a new story, very similar to what True Detective is going to do. But I think as of right now, we just want to try and, you know, see how everybody responds to this final episode coming up tomorrow night. And hopefully if the people like it and people respond, then maybe they can get a second season.
The series has been fantastic. And the takeaway from it is Alison Tolman is now my new favorite actress, who plays your wife Molly on the show. She is incredible on this show, Colin.
She's fantastic. She was our wild card. She's our rookie. She'd never really been cast in anything before. It's her first real big time professional Hollywood gig, and she absolutely crushes it. She's so good. She's so perfect on the show, and she is the sweetest, kindest person you will ever meet. I'm just I'm fortunate that I now can call myself a friend of Alison Tolman.
And she was at Game 5.
What? I take it all back. I take it back.
No, I'm just kidding.
Horrible.
We in a million years never could have imagined that a TV reboot of the great movie Fargo could have been as great. I mean, it sounded on paper, as we talked about, Colin, when we had John at the beginning of the thing, it sounded like a terrible idea. Obviously, you said yes because you saw the script. And it has been so great. I mean, I'm so happy that they made this. Congratulations on being part of another great series.
Oh, thank you so much. No, I'm so proud of the show. I think it's really great. I had an absolute blast doing it, and I'm just absolutely tickled by the response that it's gotten. I'm so happy that people are digging what we're putting down.
Fargo, Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. The season finale is going to be tomorrow night. Let's hear it for Colin Hanks for checking in back with us again. Congratulations, Colin, for you and your Kings, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
It's our Kings, and thank you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. You're with us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I don't know what he's doing
and he's
here.
Answering the voices in his head, finally.
Mm-hmm. Hand check.
All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Oh.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That is it.
And he's recording line for the new Rodney Fingerheimer video game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like India.
Just like India. Exactly. Thank you, Rodney. All right. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
We have some time.
No.
Just to call India and thank them for everything they've done for us.
Nope.
Inspiring Rodney and all that stuff.
We do not.
We got some time. Don't we?
We don't.
Play some real quick phone call.
We don't have time.
Just real quick.
Come on.
Just real quickly. I
got the number here. Ralph, I'll dial it up for you. Sure, why not?
Thanks, Bean. Take care of this for me.
It's been a while since we thanked them for their service. Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yay!
That is awesome. That is awesome.
You see the look on Kevin's face.
I hated it at the time. I fought it at the time. I don't know. How many years ago was that? 15? I was angry at the time. I'm angry now. It is not my sense of humor.
What do you have against those people? They're very helpful to us. They do a lot for us. We just like to thank them once in a while. I get it, man.
See, because there's a song called Thank You, India. Forget it.
Rodney brought it up.
I don't know that much about India. I'm assuming it's a country.
Rodney brought it up. Blame him, man. It's Monday morning. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office here on the Showbiz Beat. 22 Jump Street, in its debut, did $60 million. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot.
So where do they go? They have to do a third one now,
23 Jump
right?
Street. Right? Yeah, they're going to move the building one more just across the street next door to the old 21.
They made
Street.
Jokes about that through the entire movie, and at the end they did 23, 24, 25. I don't know how high they went.
I mean, they can't send them back to college, so what are they going to do? Send them
grad school?
They go to medical
school?
Yeah, medical school. They go chef academy, whatever that is. Yeah, there's just a whole bunch of them at the end.
How to Train Your Dragon 2 debuted with $50 million. So $110 million of the box office went to the top two films, and as you can expect, it dropped off a little bit after that. Maleficent made $19 million, good enough to make it number three. Then Edge of Tomorrow and The Fault in Our Stars were the top five movies. X-Men Days of Future Past, Godzilla, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Neighbors, and Chef rounded out your top 10. Looks like Harrison Ford will be sidelined for about 8 weeks from filming the new Star Wars film. A pneumatic door from the Millennium Falcon came loose and fell on him at Pinewood Studios in Buckinghamshire, England. Calista Flockhart flew in over the weekend to be with her husband. So it looks like, they're saying 8 weeks or so the ankle should heal and then he'll be back at work. Luckily, there's so many cast members in this film, they're able to rearrange the schedule and they don't think it's going to affect the shooting too badly unless they do a little shuffling. So that's good news.
I hope they include that in the movie.
Just Harrison healing?
Yeah. No, just him getting just destroyed by the
door.
Oh,
from the door? That would be a cool action. That looks so realistic. CGI's come a long way. Kevin, you'll be happy to know that NBC has announced a mini-series that they're going to be doing based on the story of the Beatles.
No!
The Beatles series, TV series on NBC.
No!
finally, we get to know a little bit of the backstory about this band, who they were, how they came together, what their relationships were like. Finally, I would love to know something about these guys. You never hear about this band.
And when the Beatles arrived in America,
Rodney wants to know.
Really changed our lives.
Right?
I mean, look.
What happened?
We grew hair when the Beatles went on television.
We were bald before.
We started bands.
We had new music
before. Started dressing cooler.
Nope. Yeah. We're very hot.
Before all that happened, it was news about the Beatles. It was John F. Kennedy was really put everybody in a sad position.
Yeah.
And then the Beatles arrived and sort of changed everybody's lives, basically.
Okay. That's a clip from the show, right?
I hope
Rodney's
the main
hosting.
Character. You know, a lot of people talk about still President Kennedy with such affection. We never really call him out on putting us in that sad position he put us
That's
in.
That's true.
He put us in a, he put us in a really sad position back
in 63.
Dude's
a downer, really.
Really. That was he put a lot on us, that sad position he put us in back in 63. He could have been nicer with that, I think.
So, Ralph.
Yes, Bean Baxter.
Artistically, there's a lot of storyline there about a fiction, I mean, about doing a TV show of what it was like for the Beatles. I mean,
all right, what are you saying?
I'm saying there's a lot of storyline there to make a television show about the Beatles. I don't think this is the worst idea that you've ever had.
First of all, it's not
Ralph's idea. You know how this works, right, Bean?
You know how television works, right? I don't just say something here on the radio and then they go make a series.
I thought you made it up.
As much as we'd like that to be the case.
No, it's NBC's project, not mine. And, no, look, I agree. I think there's a lot of drama. I mean, the whole story of that band plays out like a scripted story anyway. How they got together and the breakup and everything and how they embodied the 60s and, you know, they broke up in 70 at the end of the 60s and stuff. There's a lot there. I'm just saying. That's not doing J-Lo.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
This is one of those stories, like we were talking about with the 60s TV series on CNN. How they
had not interesting.
They had a two-hour episode of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And I said, that is a story that we've gone over and over and over, and everyone knows the details of that event. The Beatles are another one of those stories. I think that we've had a lot of information, a lot of documentaries, and a lot of articles and books written about that band. I'm just saying, they're going to have to really find a new, fresh angle on it to make it interesting.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Well, thank you.
Hey, how about the Beatles?
Okay. That should be the name of it.
And Kanye West got booed at Bonnaroo this weekend. How awesome is that?
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, he was the headliner at Friday night's lineup. Now, the organizers were very excited to have him headline. The attendees, maybe not so much, because even leading up to Friday night's main event, there were graffitied variations of F. Kanye popping up in various places all over the event. Walls, barriers, porta-potties had F. Kanye scrawled across them almost as soon as concertgoers began arriving on Wednesday.
Okay.
He takes the stage for his event and immediately goes into one of his tirades. First of all, calling out the press. Where the press at? F the press, he said. Now, the press was not a significant portion of that audience, so people sort of ignored that. But then he went into, I'm feeling humbled in a way that gives me strength, because at 37, what you see of me now is only the beginning. I am the number one mother effing rock star on the planet. At that point, he was met with an outburst of violent boos, say witnesses, and what looked like a mass exodus away from the stage as people left that area and started filling up the tent for the UK dance duo Disclosure early, punctuating their walks with eruptions of a surprisingly well-organized chant of F. Kanye, they say, as they walked away from his stage. I've rarely felt this happy.
That's pretty strong.
It is pretty strong. So Kanye perhaps not amongst his people there at Bonnaroo. Sounds like they were willing to give him a shot at the beginning until he went into that self-aggrandizing BS, and then they said, "Yeah, okay, we've heard this song before.
Peace out.
We're gonna go listen to some music."
And I kind of feel like his brand has been tarnished a little bit by all this association with the Kardashians, too.
I agree. Good news is the Kardashians' viewership is down too. The premiere of their latest season of the show down 30% from where it was last season.
That is good news.
It's as if everyone has just had an assful enough already. And we knew it; they couldn't last forever. Nobody could be that interested in those people who do nothing for that long.
That's correct.
Weird Al Yankovic's releasing another album. You know, I hope he does this time is take popular songs and then write new lyrics for them that are that sound like the older lyrics.
Yeah, that's.
But this time, they're like wildly just different. They rhyme and everything. They sound like those lyrics, but they're about something different.
No one has ever been better at doing that.
I think that would be clever if he did that.
Oh my gosh! 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 Oh my gosh!
Where it is on the new album, which drops on July the 15th, he does a parody of Iggy Azalea's song "Fancy." And comedian and friend of our show, Patton Oswalt, tweeted that he's also heard another song off the album that makes fun of a band that Patton has worshipped since the 90s and that it's, I quote, beautiful. So, who knows? Who could it be? 90s band.
Well, the first one that I thought of was Nirvana, but he already did.
Yeah, maybe.
Smells like Teen Spirit.
I don't know.
Huh.
I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know.
I'm sure we'll maybe talk to Al about this new project. No album yet.
He who is tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
No title yet for the new album.
What do you think he's going to? What was the song that he's parodying?
Fancy,
yeah, Iggy Fancy. Azalea? What do you think he's going to name that?
Oh, it's a good one.
Prancy, oh, Dancy,
Nancy. My name's Nancy. Schmancy.
I hope it's Schmancy.
Glancy. I just kind of look over at everybody. I'm Glancy. Bean, what's your guess?
Pantsuit.
Ah, pantsuit.
Pantsuit? That's not a rhyme.
It's close. It's a slant rhyme, as they say in the biz.
That's right.
So, do you have inside information, Bean?
I don't know. No, I don't know a darn thing. I'm just as excited as everybody else is.
Maybe
for
I'm
July
antsy.
15th.
Antsy.
No, I can't sit still. I'm antsy.
Antsy. Whatever it is, antsy. It's going to be great.
That's science.
We all like Al.
We do.
Bean has an unnatural love for Al.
Because he's the greatest person in the history of the world ever.
Okay.
That's why.
See,
it makes it hard just to like Al when you're
right.
doing that.
Right. Because now we're forced into a situation where we go, we know he's not the greatest human being ever.
Right. So now I have to balance you out. I have to not like Al so much.
Right.
It's impossible to not like Al so much.
You make it possible. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor John Cho is 42 years old today. Actor Eddie Cibrian is 41. Missy Peregrim. Soon to be seen this week in a brand new season of Rookie Blue. She's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Andy Signore in the studio from Screen Junkies Honest Trailers. They're able to take every single movie and make it horrible. And it's quite a talent. We're also going to qualify you for Lollapalooza. And I believe that we just came up with the idea that Lisa May is going to do Eminem raps tomorrow.
What the what?
Because Eminem is on the show, along with a bunch of other K-Rock bands.
Now, that's going to be great.
Can't you whistle
like,
it?
I know
instead?
Them all.
Whistle
already,
it.
You know.
And our in-studio guest is Joe Rogan tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and